Hello, this is Space Kate, and I'm in Berlin for the International Space Station Symposium. I've had a fantastic couple of days learning about all sorts of important things going on the station, with effects that they can have on Earth, and how the international collaboration is going on. Now, you may have heard a lot about NASA and the American space program, and not so much about the Russian effort, but with me here is Sergei Grigolov,
Right.
and you have spent more time in space than anybody else on the planet. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You can be a bit more excited about it than that. How
Yeah, but
many
it
times
was
have you been to space?
6 times, and I had different length of the flight. Some of them was half a year, some of them was a week, some of them was almost 11 months. So there were several flights, different duration, and I never set a goal to set a record. Just did what I like to do, and that's what happened.
So were you counting the days down until you know if I work another few days, then I'll be the person with the longest time in space? How did that happen?
Well, that's a different story. I knew that I was going to break a record if everything goes nominal, but I never count on each specific date or day of flight it's going to happen. So someone on the ground counted for me, and one morning, on the morning DPC, daily planning conference, we have every day in the morning and in the evening, ground tell me that today I'm breaking the record, and since this day I'm going to be a record holder for total time duration in space. So, well, but it was a regular day. I knew that it's going to happen sometime in the flight, and it happened about a couple of months before end of the mission. So at the end of the day, they greet me again, remind me that I'm a record holder right now, and I said, "Well, you know, it's going to be a very convenient, interesting record because tomorrow I'm breaking today's record, and day after tomorrow I'll break tomorrow's record. So it's going to be a new record till the end of the flight." So finally, again, I didn't count it, but someone counted for me that totally I count a little more than 800 days in space.
That is actually quite impressive. Very impressive, in fact. So we know that at the beginning of the space program, a lot of it came from the tensions that were going on between America and Russia, and yet now the Americans actually rely on the Russians to get up to the space station since they've retired their shuttle. How does it feel being a part of the Russian space program?
Well, at first we have a long-lasting relationship already with Americans. Start from a joint Apollo-Soyuz mission in 1975, and then I was part of a first exchange flight when I was flying on shuttle, and then American Norm Taggart flew on space station Mir. Then there was another program, shuttle Mir, when shuttle flew several times on Mir, and several American astronauts spend their time on Mir getting ready for future long-duration flights. And then when we start to build joint station together, International Space Station, I was assigned as a prime crew for first mission on ISS, and actually before that I flew another flight as first assembly mission. So I was lucky to be right in the middle of all this cooperation, and I have a lot of friends. And actually, being on long training for shuttle flight, I was missing all my friends in Russia. But now, when I return back from Houston, back to Russia, now I'm missing my friends in Houston.
So they're quite different systems for getting into space, the shuttle and the Soyuz. I just wondered what kind of differences were there in the training, and did you find a lot of cultural differences in the way that the Russians and the Americans were doing their training?
There were differences, but at the time when I started training in Houston, there was more technical differences rather than cultural, because we used to fly long-duration flights, and Americans successfully flew many shuttle missions, and all these missions in our consideration considered to be short durations, although some of them was like 3 days, some of them couple weeks, and a couple of weeks considered to be a long-duration flight on shuttle. But training was different because of that. Americans did more rehearsal of specific sequences of actions. We worked more on skills-based training, so we developed skills rather than exercise procedures. But now with joint flights on ISS, our training getting close to each other, and we do about the same back in Moscow in training center and in Houston.
And you've had your 800 plus days in space, but now you've sort of crossed over, and instead of mainly going to space yourself, you're helping a new generation of people going up in your role at the Gagarin Training Center.
And that's
what do you do there?
And that's normal, not only after their flights, but sometimes even between flights, flown astronauts, cosmonauts are sharing their experience with engineers, with flight controllers, and also with a training team that train new crew, and maybe sometimes even with subsequent crews also. So that's the way we do for many years. And recently, for last 3 years, I was assigned as a head of Cosmonaut Training Center, so I have a lot of administrative things to do, but also we are trying to do our best to share our experience and make flight of new cosmonauts easier.
So we know that the Americans are now buying seats on the Soyuz to get their astronauts up to the station, and I heard that it costs $63 million.
I
was just wondering if now that I've met you, maybe you can help secure me a discount so I can fly.
Well, probably it's easier to smuggle you to space rather than do discounts.
Okay, well, we'll work out how small I can pack, and we'll try and find somewhere to put me in the Soyuz then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.